You're listening to Chris, the Connecticut Radio Information System. And if you're looking for a new job or career opportunity, stay with us for positive futures. Learn from area professionals how to enhance and improve your job search, networking, resume writing, and interview techniques. And discover the extensive programs and services that are available to help you pursue your goals. Your host for Positive Futures is Steve Famigletti, Blind Services Vocational Manager at the NEAT Center in Hartford.
Hi, everyone. This is Steve Famigletti, your host for Positive Futures. I hope everyone is well. Today, I have another special guest with me. Her name is Andrea Melms, and Andrea is an employment services specialist that works at Oak Hill in Hartford, Connecticut. Oak Hill is a community rehab provider in the state of Connecticut for the Department of Rehab Services. And as I said, I'm very excited to have Andrea on the show today. Hello, Andrea. How are you?
Hi, Steve. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. So I would love, perhaps, if you would be able to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your background.
Sure. I have been working in the field for about 5 years. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology and criminal justice from the University of Connecticut. I also hold a master's degree from Central Connecticut State University in counseling with a specialization in vocational rehab. In addition to my education, I am a nationally certified counselor, a certified rehab counselor, and a certified employment support professional through APSE. I guess I got my start working in the field at Star Shelters through DCF for outplaced DCF youth. And I kind of went from there into working as an employment coordinator at another agency, and then finally at Oak Hill doing employment services for Doors.
That sounds like a very interesting past. This is an ignorant question, but the places that you worked in the past that you mentioned, do those places all serve people with disabilities?
Yes. So the Star Shelters aren't designed for people with disabilities, but we had a lot of youth with mental health issues as well as other disabilities. When I worked in a DCF DDS group home, everyone there had a disability, as well as in my past placement was at a another community resource provider for Doors for both youth in transition and for adult services. So everyone there had to have a disability to be eligible for services.
So you have lots of experience working with this particular segment of our population,
yes,
if you will. What exactly is a community rehab provider?
So a community rehab provider is an agency throughout the state in various communities that provides services to people with disabilities. In Connecticut, all community rehab providers are contracted through the Department of Rehab Services. So that we work with people that are referred to us from the department in order to help find them employment opportunities, whether it's to find work or to retain employment, or even to help with pre-vocational employment skills.
So it really covers a lot of the bases then.
Yes. So it's anything that has to do with employment, a community resource provider is able to help with.
And is this kind of setup exist on a national level?
I'm not entirely sure about on a national level. I know a few of my friends who work in other states also work in community rehab providers, but I'm not sure if it's every state has them. I know we were talking earlier, and Connecticut didn't used to have them, and that's something that came about in the last 20 years.
Right, because when I began my job search in 20 years ago, there was no community rehab provider. I just had a vocational counselor from Services for the Blind who helped me in obtaining my employment. I don't remember anything else, any other service ever being mentioned. What are the kinds of services that a community rehab provider would provide?
there's a lot of different kinds of services. There is the pre-vocational, which is helping with any types of skills that someone would need before they're able to go to work. So that could be something like an informational interview where the person you're working with goes out and talks to different employers to see if that's an area they'd like to go into, or a job shadow where they actually follow someone throughout the workday to make sure that when they do go into that type of job, that it's something that they would enjoy doing. There's also like job placements. So working with businesses in the community to find permanent placements, or even just assessment sites where we can learn about different skills that people have, if that's the type of job that they really want to do. And then from there, there is also what's called on-the-job training. So it's kind of like a permanent placement, but it's more long-term, so that we can really get in there and help someone kind of learn the work skills on a long-term basis, as well as like relationship building with coworkers and supervisors, and just ensure that the workplace is accessible. And then we do like long-term supports, where if someone with a significant disability wants to go back to work competitively, but they need that support, not just for the initial hours they work, but for a longer period of time, that's something else that could be used as a community resource provider, at least in Connecticut.
So really, it's a whole host of services that can be offered to someone at different points in their sort of job search, if you will.
Yeah, it could be at any point in your job search. It could be offered to someone who's in college or getting out of college and needs help starting their job search. It could be with students in transition in high school, for them to be able to kind of figure out what they want to do after high school. Adults who are looking to get back into their field, or even who are looking to change the field that they're in. It's a whole host of different services that can help someone at any point during the lifespan, as well as with any point in their job search.
I think that's important that we talk about that, because people don't have to think that they have to be at the starting point of something, that they can basically work with a CRP mm-hmm. at any point. That doesn't have to be the first thing that they do right out of high school or right out of college.
Oh yeah, any point in your life. If at one point, I know I've worked with someone in the past who, when they first went into the workforce, they felt they didn't have a disability, but over time, the disability that they did have became worse and made it hard for them to work in the certain job that they were in. So they went to the Department of Rehab Services in order to gain some supports to either stay in that position or to find something similar that was able to accommodate to the needs that they had at that time.
And I think that's a wonderful point to bring up, because there's, you know, I've had people that I've talked to in the past who have a particular disability, and then something happens and they may have a secondary disability that they're having to adapt to. And so the idea that they can go back to a CRP at any point and have assistance and have changes be made is, I think, important for people to understand.
Yeah, it's very important to understand that there's a lot of different challenges that can come in for primary or secondary disabilities that could affect employment. And you wouldn't necessarily go back to the CRP. You would have to go back to your DORS counselor to ensure that you're eligible for services. But most of the time you are, if it impacts any part of your employment at all.
This might be kind of a hard question. Maybe it's vague, but what are some of the challenges that you feel people with disabilities face trying to get into the workforce? And I know it's a ridiculously general question, but I thought I would ask it.
No, it's a really good question. There's a lot of challenges up front, even before you get through the even before you get to the interview process. There's the issue with access to accessible technology. So online applications are not always accessible, and that's what a lot of places are going to. And then if you can't fill out an application online and you have to go to the actual location to fill out an application, there's the issue of transportation. There's the issue of just general prejudice from the work site, even if it's not outright. There's the might be an inaccessible workplace. So if someone's in a wheelchair and there's no elevator to get to the second floor, that's an ADA issue right there, which could impact employment as well.
Is there anything that you would say to someone who is kind of coming into this new and they're going to be looking for work in terms of what they should be doing in communicating their disability and their needs at different points in this process?
Do you mean when working with the CRP or just in the job search in general?
In both cases.
Okay. So if someone does have a disability and they're not using a CRP, I always tell people that I work with, there's six different places that you can disclose a disability. There is in your resume or cover letter, which some people do, some people don't. It's all about personal preference. There is before the initial interview, if you need to make sure that the building's accessible or that you have transportation to get there, you can always call the business you're working or you're interviewing at to make sure that you're able to access the interview. There's during the interview. There's after a job offer. There is also, like, if you don't disclose a disability at first, you can always disclose when you've been there for a little bit and see exactly where you need the accommodations, or you never have to disclose at all.
I think this is really good information for the listeners, because I feel like as we go forward in time, it seems like this changes from time to time over the years.
In terms of?
Like disclosing disability. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like for me, what you just said was new.
It's all about really personal preference. So I've worked with someone who really advocated for their disability and their accommodations, and they wanted to be upfront from the beginning. So they put in their cover letter what their disability was and how they felt that it was an asset to them at the place that they were applying. But on the other end, I've also worked with people that didn't want to disclose ever that they had a disability, and that's their choice. They don't have to. But they go into the workplace and then they see exactly where they may need an accommodation, which would mean that we'd have to disclose later on.
So I guess it's really, like you say, it's a matter of personal preference and really kind of understanding yourself and what your needs are.
Yeah, it goes back to just kind of doing some internal searches, just making sure that you're comfortable with what is going on in the job search. Work is a really big part of life and it's how some people take meaning in their life. And if that's something that you want to disclose on the work site, that goes back to if that's something you want to keep separate or you want to integrate into a work setting.
Do you have a kind of a story that sticks out in your brain as to like a success story that you've been a part of, you know, over the years as being at a CRP?
I find that every person I work with is technically a success story if they find any type of employment. One person that really sticks out to me is I was working with a young lady a few years ago who was blind, and she needed a lot of technology on the work site. She wanted to work as a receptionist, which we did find her a position as a receptionist, and she used a CCTV and a magnifier. At first it was just a working evaluation, so we were just going in to kind of assess what her work skills would be. But she and I sat down and we talked about how she felt on the job, what she felt she was good at. And she actually took it upon herself after that conversation to write a letter to the business advocating for herself and why she felt she would be a good fit. And she was actually hired on as a receptionist in that position.
That's really cool that happened and that she had the foresight to do that.
Yeah, she was a really smart girl, and she knew what she wanted, and she knew that advocacy is a really big part of really any part of your life, and advocating for herself to go back to work was something that she really wanted.
And I would say that in you know, coming up with that last question, every placement is successful. I don't want our listeners to think that I don't think that they are successful, but I was just looking for like the thing that may have stuck out in your brain, you know, of something that left an impression on you.
Oh, yeah. And no, any type of work is successful. If you're even going back to work 5 hours a week and that's 5 hours more than you were doing the week before, that's impressive in itself. Being able to just go to work is it's a privilege in a lot of parts of the country.
And I even remember back when I did my job search, you know, many years ago, and really it's such a hard thing to do. And it's so hard because you think you found something that might work for you and then it doesn't turn into a placement. Mm-hmm. And you sort of get your brain into, well, what will my life be like if I work here? And then it doesn't turn out and you kind of have to take that part of your thought process away and start all over again. And it seems very difficult.
The job search itself is just very stressful. There's points of time, and it could be a long period of time where you're not working, even if you are working with a CRP, because the goal is to find a placement that the person will succeed in.
Right, right. If people are listening and they are interested in using a CRP, what do they have to do?
They would have to contact the Rehab Services Department in their respective state to fill out an application to see if they'd be eligible for services.
Okay, that's good information to know. And then we talked about like all the different services that CRPs offer. Is there a limit in terms of how long a person can work with a CRP? You know, in other words, if someone's working with a CRP for a year and they don't end up in a successful placement, would that cause issue? Would they be like changed to a different CRP?
Something that I like about working with CRPs is that it's all up to the choice of the person you're working with. So that person has the choice whether or not they want to stay with that CRP. So if they don't feel like it's working out, whether it's taking over a year to get a placement or if their personalities don't mesh, they're able to go back to their counselor, at least in Connecticut, and kind of have that discussion about changing to another CRP.
Well, that's good to know. So they're really not locked in, so to speak.
No, it's all about personal choice. And I think that's really important because everyone's had someone they've worked with that maybe they didn't get along well with, or it just didn't work out with what they were doing. And having that choice to find something else that does work, especially with something as important as employment, is really, really good.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So what would be some good practices that you think that the individuals themselves could have, you know, in their employment search and even with working with the CRP?
Whether someone is working with the CRP or not, I find it's always really important to use your own resources. So if you want to go into a certain field, look at who your contacts are, whether it's family or professional or friends, and see if they have any connections. Because that's where a lot of the different jobs out there come from. It's from word of mouth. Not everything's listed on a local job board. And just put yourself out there. Follow up on applications you put in. If you're working with the CRP, make sure that you communicate and you communicate what you want, and like have an updated list of those contacts to provide to the CRP you're working with so that they can use those as well to see if there's anything they can do to kind of get you into those workplaces.
This may not be a question for this particular podcast, mm-hmm. but it kind of popped into my brain. And because I'm thinking about, say, that somebody applies to work for a particular company, is there anything out there now that says that they can look at your social media accounts? Because I'm thinking people posting things on Facebook now, can that be detrimental to a person in their job search?
Yeah, it definitely can be detrimental. There are some company policies, like some companies have policies that say they can't look at social media when recruiting, but then there's others that don't say anything. There's no laws that say they can't look at it. And a lot of businesses do look at like LinkedIn's or Facebook's. So people should always be wary of what they're posting on their social media, because even if that's not the impression you mean to give off to businesses, it could give a bad impression if they just don't understand the context of what you're posting, or if it is something that you really shouldn't be putting out there.
I feel like this is a conversation that should probably be had a lot.
Yeah, social media is big. I know that for myself, when I'm working with people, I make a point not to look at people's social media, but I have that conversation with them. Like, I don't know what you're posting on your Twitter or your Facebook or your Instagram, but the businesses that we're going to be going out and talking with and that you're going to be applying to, they may. It's a balance between what you're actually putting out on the social media and what should be like seen by the general public.
Right. Because I know a lot of times once it's out there, it's out there.
Yeah. So never taking it back.
Yeah, it's kind of a scary thing, actually, at some level.
It is. It's something that didn't exist before 15, 20 years ago. People didn't have to worry about what they put on their Facebook and whether or not they're going to get hired. But now it's something that you really have to be cognitive about when you are doing a job search.
Do you find or have you seen people using social media as part of their job search?
Yeah, I know. LinkedIn, they have a whole job section. I've seen people put posts on Facebook just like asking for connections. So if anybody has any connections in the field they're looking to work in, I've seen people reach out to people on Facebook if they see that there is that they're working in that field so that they can have that connection. Facebook itself, they just put up a specific section just for jobs, which I found really interesting, where if you are looking for a position, you can just go right on that app and use Facebook as a job board, which I don't know if I'd recommend, but there could be some good ideas of where to look from the placements that they put up on that job board.
That'll be interesting to see how that kind of develops over time.
Yeah, I mean, Facebook in itself, there's a lot there. I don't know if they need to add any more. But yeah, if people can get jobs, there's do it in any way that you can. So even if you see a posting on Facebook, I wouldn't necessarily recommend that you put in your application through Facebook, but maybe see if that same listing is on the company's webpage or on another job board.
Yeah, because it's pretty easy for people to make things look real and they're not real too.
Right. And sometimes when you're looking for jobs, you have to be careful about whether or not it's a real job, whether you're going to be working under the table or you're going to be, if it's one of those marketing scams, that's not what you want to do. You want to look for the legitimate placements.
And I think maybe for some folks, it could be pretty difficult to tell the difference.
Oh, yeah. If you do look at the postings that people put up, they look identical to a real place.
Wow. Do you have any further thoughts for our listeners, things we haven't talked about that you wanted to bring up today?
I guess something that's really important in a job search is just showing who you are. There's many ways to get in a door. You could work with the CRP. You could put in your applications on your own, use your connections. But once you do get through that door, just make sure you show your character. Where you've worked before, your GPA, your education, that's what kind of gets you in the door. But who you are and how you interact with people and the knowledge that you show is really what solidifies a job for you.
That is really good information, I think, for sure. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast with us. I think that this is a really exciting thing and a service that people can use. And I encourage listeners, if they are involved in a job search, that they talk to their vocational counselors and see if their CRP is available to them.
Thank you for having me, Steve. I find that employment is a really, really important thing in people's lives, and being able to work with someone else to make that a little bit easier could make that job search even better for them.
Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
Positive Futures is produced at the Chris Radio Studios in Windsor in cooperation with the Connecticut Department of Rehabilitation Services, Board of Education and Services for the Blind.